今天咱们来聊一聊美苏冷战时期的太空竞赛。
Today, let's talk about the space race during the Cold War between the US and the Soviet Union.
其实这个竞赛的背后啊。
Actually, the background of this competition is
不光是科技实力的比拼。
It's not just a competition of technological strength. Well,
也是两个超级大国核威慑下的战略博弈。
It is also a strategic game under the deterrence of two superpowers.
这场太空竞赛确实改变了很多事情。
This space race has really changed a lot of things.
那我们就直接开始吧。
Then let's start right away.
我们先来看看美苏航天争霸的起源以及争霸的根本原因。
Let's first look at the origin and the fundamental reasons for the US-Soviet space race.
其实很多人都好奇二战对于这场太空竞赛到底有什么样的影响。
Actually, many people are curious about what impact World War Roman II had on the space race.
其实这场竞赛的技术基础几乎全部都来自于二战末期德国的 V2 弹道导弹技术。
In fact, the technical basis of this competition almost entirely comes from the German V2 ballistic missile technology in the late years of World War Roman II. Well,
V2 它是人类历史上第一种大型的航天运载工具。
Is the first large-scale space launch vehicle in human history.
可以说是现代火箭的老祖宗。
It can be said that it is the ancestor of modern rockets.
哦、那看来德国的这个遗产确实是成为了后来美苏争夺的一个关键。
That seems to indicate that this German legacy has indeed become a key factor in the subsequent US-Soviet rivalry.
没错，没错。
Absolutely, absolutely.
然后二战结束之后呢？
Then, after World War Roman II,
美国就把德国的那一批顶尖的科学家，像冯布劳恩这样的人，全部都带回了美国。
The United States brought all the top German scientists, such as von Braun, back to the United States.
嗯。
Well,
而苏联这边呢，他就收缴了大量的 V2 导弹的实物和一些中层的技术骨干。
Meanwhile, the Soviet side also seized a large number of V-2 missiles as well as food and some technical backbone personnel.
所以说双方其实在这个初期的起点都是靠德国的这个技术和人才。
So, in fact, both sides were initially dependent on German technology and talent at the very beginning.
哎，我有一个疑问啊。
I have a question.
为什么这个火箭技术会成为冷战时期美苏博弈的核心呢？
Why did this rocket technology become a core element of the US-Soviet rivalry during the Cold War?
其实这个火箭技术它直接就等于洲际核打击能力。
In fact, this rocket technology is directly equivalent to intercontinental nuclear strike capability.
对。
Okay.
所以航天探索它从一开始就不单纯是一个科学上的事情。
Therefore, space exploration is not just a scientific endeavor from the beginning.
它更是核威慑的一个公开的秀场。
It is also a public stage for nuclear deterrence.
就是谁能够把卫星、把飞船送上天？
Who can send satellites and spacecraft into space?
其实就意味着谁有能力把核弹头扔到地球的任何一个地方。
This actually means who has the ability to launch nuclear warheads to any place on Earth.
这么说的话
，That said,
卫星发射就变成了一个国力和威慑力的直接较量。
The launch of satellites has become a direct competition between countries for power and deterrence.
完全是这样。
That's exactly right.
然后到了1955年
Then, in 1955,
美国的艾森豪威尔政府就公开宣布要搞人造卫星。
The Eisenhower administration of the United States publicly announced its intention to develop artificial satellites.
紧接着，苏联也立刻跟进。
Immediately, the Soviet Union followed suit.
所以这两大国的太空擂台就正式的拉开了帷幕。
So, the space arena between these two major countries officially opened.
下面咱们谈谈苏联在太空竞赛的初期。
Let's talk about the Soviet Union's early involvement in the space race.
也就是1957年到1965年之间是如何实现全面领先的。
How was it achieved to beat the first in the 1957-1965 period?
对这个斯普特尼克一号的发射到底在美国引发了什么样的震动？
What impact did the launch of Sputnik 1 have on the United States?
斯普特尼克一号是在1957年的10月4号发射的。
Sputnik 1 was launched on October 4, 1957.
它是人类历史上第一颗进入轨道的人造卫星。
It was the first artificial satellite launched into orbit by humans.
就是这样一个简单的金属球。
Here is a simple metal ball.
但是它就彻底的让美国上下都陷入了震惊。
However, it completely shocked the United States.
原来如此。
Indeed.
就说当时苏联先一步把卫星送上天。
He said that the Soviet Union was steadily launching satellites into space.
就相当于直接展示了他们的洲际导弹的技术是领先的。
对。
This essentially demonstrates their leading technological prowess in intercontinental missile technology.
所以美国就一下子感觉到了威胁。
Therefore, the United States suddenly felt threatened.
是的，是的。
Yes, yes.
而且更夸张的是，在同年的11月。
Moreover, what's even more surprising is that in November of the same year,
苏联又发射了斯普特尼克二号。
The Soviet Union launched Sputnik 2.
这次还把小狗莱卡送上了太空。
This time, the puppy Leaker also went to space.
这就意味着苏联人已经可以把地球生物送出地球了。
This means that the Soviets have already been able to send Earth's life out of Earth. Well,
所以这个就进一步的加剧了美国的这种恐慌。
Therefore, this further exacerbated the American panic.
这就是历史上著名的斯普特尼克恐慌。
This is the famous Sputnik crisis in history.
当时面对苏联在太空领域的领先，
At the time, facing the Soviet Union's leading position in the field of space,
美国是怎么应对的呢？
How did the United States respond?
美国的反应还是很迅速的。
The U.S. reaction was still quick.
他们立刻就成立了 NASA, 就是美国国家航空航天局。
They immediately established NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
然后把原来分散的一些科研项目全部都整合起来。
Then integrate all the previously scattered research projects.
举全国之力来投入到这个航天领域。
Put all national efforts into this field of aerospace. Well,
接着还启动了水星计划和双子座计划。
Subsequently, the Mercury and Gemini programs were also launched.
就是想要迎头赶上。
I just want to catch up.
但是一开始的时候
,However, at the beginning,
美国的火箭发射接二连三的失败。
The series of failed rocket launches in the United States.
所以还是一直被苏联压着打。
So, we were still being oppressed and beaten by the Soviet Union.
说到这儿
,At this point,
我想问问
,I want to ask,
在这段时间里
,During this period,
苏联在航天领域还取得了哪些关键性的突破呢
?What are the key breakthroughs that the Soviet Union achieved in the field of space exploration?
这个可太多了。
This is too much.
就是从1959年到1965年这一段时间里面
from 1959 to 1965.
苏联真的是一路开挂。
The Soviet Union was truly unbeatable. Well,
比如说1959年的时候。
For example, in 1959,
月球三号探测器第一次拍摄到了月球的背面。
The third lunar exploration probe was the first to photograph the far side of the moon. Okay?
然后1961年的时候，加加林乘坐东方一号完成了人类第一次的载人航天飞行。
Then, in 1961, Gagarin completed the first human spaceflight aboard the Vostok 1. Oh?
哎，你还别说，这一个接一个的。
You won't believe it, one after another.
第一次确实挺震撼的。
The first time was really shocking and moving.
对啊。
Right.
然后后面还有，比如说1963年的时候。
Then, for example, in 1963,
有一个女航天员叫杰列什科娃。
There is a sailor named Yeleshko.
她进入了太空。
He entered the space. Okay.
然后1964年的时候，上升一号把三名宇航员送上了太空。
Then, in 1964, the first manned spacecraft was launched into space.
最后1965年的时候。
In 1965,
利昂诺夫又实现了人类第一次太空行走。
Leonov has achieved the first human spacewalk.
所以这一系列的成就直接就把太空的主导权牢牢地握在了苏联手里。
行。
Therefore, this series of achievements firmly established the Soviet Union's dominance in space.
说完了。
After that,
苏联，咱们再来看看美国的绝地反击。
Let's take a look at the U.S.'s counterattack in the U.S.
对，肯尼迪在1961年提出了这个载人登月的计划。
Kennedy proposed this plan for manned lunar landing in 1961.
哇，他背后的战略意图到底是什么？
What is the strategic intent behind his back?
其实
Actually,
当时美国在太空竞赛的每一个环节都落后于苏联。
At that time, the United States was lagging behind the Soviet Union in every stage of the space race.
所以肯尼迪在这一年就做了一个非常标志性的演讲。
Therefore, Kennedy made a very iconic challenge in this year.
讲，公开的承诺。
Make public commitments.
美国会在这十年之内把人送上月球。
The U.S. will send people to the moon within 10 years.
并且让他安全地返回地球。
And ensure his safe return to Earth.
Well, 所以这个其实已经远远不是一个科学目标了。
So, this is already far beyond a scientific goal.
它就是美国对苏联的一个终极战略挑战书。
美国在追赶苏联的这个过程当中，它具体采取了哪些不一样的策略呢？
Is the ultimate strategic challenge posed by the Soviet Union to the United States in the process of the United States catching up with the Soviet Union? What specific strategies did the United States adopt?
美国这一次就完全放弃了。
The United States completely gave up.
像苏联那样的一步一步的去刷新记录。
Like the Soviet Union, step by step planning for a new plan.
而是把全国的工业
Instead, the American industry
科技和军工的资源全部都集中起来。
All the resources of science and technology and the military industry are concentrated.
然后去全力研发重型运载火箭和深空载人技术。
Then focus on developing heavy lift rockets and manned launch technology.
对。
Okay.
就是他所有的赌注全部都压在了阿波罗登月计划这一张牌上。
All his bets were placed on the Apollo moon landing program.
听起来美国是下了狠心。
It seems that the United States is determined.
要毕其功于一役。
To achieve complete success with a single effort.
是这样的。
Here is the case.
与此同时呢
At the same time,
苏联这边就正好相反。
on the Soviet side. It was exactly the opposite. Well,
因为他们的总设计师克罗廖夫的健康状况突然恶化。
Due to the sudden deterioration of their chief designer, Klyushev's health condition,
然后去世了。
And he died.
所以导致他们的这个技术就出现了断层。
Therefore, their technology has been disrupted.
而且他们的领导层对于到底是要继续近地轨道的任务。
Furthermore, their leadership is debating whether to continue the mission to the New Earth orbit.
还是要转向登月。
Still need to turn to the moon.
始终摇摆不定。
Always wavering.
更要命的是。
More importantly,
他们的这个 N1 重型登月火箭四次发射全部爆炸。
Their N-ton heavy lift rocket exploded 4 times in its first launch.
所以最终苏联的登月计划就彻底的失败了。
Therefore, the Soviet Union's lunar landing plan was completely failed.
后来呢，美国是怎么在登月项目上实现对苏联的反超的？
Later, how did the United States achieve a lead in the lunar exploration project over the Soviet Union?
1968年的时候
In 1968,
美国的阿波罗8号载着三名宇航员绕月飞行。
The Apollo 8 mission, carrying 3 astronauts, orbited the moon. Well,
这是人类第一次亲眼看到了地月的全貌。
This is the first time humans have seen the full moon.
这个时候其实美国就已经在深空技术上面彻底的超越了苏联一直以来领先的近地轨道技术。
At this time, the United States had already completely surpassed the Soviet Union in terms of technology in launching satellites into orbit.
哦、
oh,
那这个绕月飞行真的是太关键了。
This lunar mission is really crucial.
然后最最轰动的就是1969年的7月20号。
Then, the most sensational thing was on July 20, 1969.
阿波罗11号成功的登陆了月球。
Apollo 11 successfully landed on the moon.
阿姆斯特朗踏上月面的时候说
Armstrong said when he stepped on the moon,
这是一个人的一小步。
This is one step for a man.
却是人类的一大步。
It was a giant leap for mankind.
嗯。
Well,
这个瞬间就把美国推上了太空竞赛的冠军领奖台。
This moment put the United States on top of the space race.
就是不管苏联之前在近地轨道上拿了多少个第一。
No matter how many satellites the Soviet Union had in low Earth orbit.
第一。
First,
但是载人登月。
However, manned lunar landing,
这个才是真正的让全球的舆论彻底的倒向了美国这边。
This is the real way to completely turn global public opinion towards the United States.
明白了。
Understood.
那接下来咱们谈谈后登月时代。
Okay, let's talk about the post-Apollo era.
美苏的这个太空竞赛又发生了哪些变化？
What changes have occurred in the U.S.-Soviet space race?
苏联又是怎么在近地轨道上继续保持自己的优势的呢？
How did the Soviet Union continue to maintain its advantage in low Earth orbit?
好的。
Okay.
登月这个目标达成了之后呢？
Once this goal is achieved,
美苏就不再去争这个谁。
The U.S. and the Soviet Union will not compete for this anymore.
第一个突破了。
The first one broke through.
而是把目光转向了空间站、深空探测和太空军事化这几个方向进行一个长期的较量。
Instead, it turned its attention to a long-term competition in the areas of space launch detection and space militarization.
嗯。
Well,
然后苏联这边呢？
Then on the Soviet side,
因为知道自己在登月上面已经没有希望了。
Because I know that I have no hope of landing on the moon.
所以就把自己的所有精力都投入到了近地轨道。
So, all of his energy was focused on the near-Earth orbit.
所以苏联这是集中力量办大事。
Therefore, the Soviet Union was concentrating its forces to achieve major goals.
把自己的强项发挥到了极致。
Maximize your strengths.
没错。
Right?
就是1971年的时候。
In 1971,
苏联就发射了人类第一个空间站，礼炮一号。
The Soviet Union launched the first human-inhabited space station, Logistics No. 1.
然后后面又不断的去升级礼炮系列。
Then it continued to upgrade the Mortar series.
所以他们就长期的占据着近地太空。
Therefore, they have long occupied near-Earth space.
这也展现了他们深厚的航天技术的积淀。
This also shows the accumulated space technology behind them.
美国在这个阶段在航天领域有哪些比较大的动作呢？
What are the major actions the United States taking in the field of space at this stage?
美国的话，在民用方面就是持续的进行登月。
In the United States, the focus is on continuous civilian lunar exploration.
获得了海量的这种深空的数据
，obtained a large amount of data on the rise，
同时也在研发航天飞机，想要建立一个可重复使用的航天体系。
At the same time, they are also developing spacecraft in order to establish a reusable space system.
对
，Okay。
然后在军事层面的话
，In terms of the military，
就是1983年，里根提出了这个星球大战计划。
In 1983, George Lucas proposed the Star Wars plan.
他就是说要搞太空反导、激光武器。
He said that he wanted to develop space-based anti-missile laser weapons.
卫星防御网。
Satellite defense net.
就是要把太空变成一个全方位的作战平台。
The goal is to transform Soju into a comprehensive combat platform. Well,
这个星球大战计划听起来就非常烧钱啊。
This Star Wars project sounds like it's going to cost a fortune.
确实，因为这个计划技术难度非常高。
Indeed, the technical difficulty of this plan is very high.
然后花费也极其巨大。
Then the cost is also very high.
所以这就直接击中了苏联的经济的弱点。
This directly hit the Soviet Union's economic weaknesses. Well,
因为苏联本来就已经是重工业过重。
Because the Soviet Union already had an overreliance on heavy industry,
民生不振。
People's livelihood is not well.
所以他为了要跟美国进行对抗
Therefore, he wanted to confront the United States.
就只能拼命地去投入到这些太空军备当中
Then you can only desperately invest in these space weapons.
然后这就导致他的财政被彻底的拖垮，经济结构更加的畸形
This then led to his complete financial ruin and a more distorted economic structure.
社会矛盾也越来越尖锐
Social contradictions are becoming increasingly acute.
了解了，我们再来说说这个争霸的终局和各自的结局。
Now, let's talk about the middle and the end of the competition and the respective outcomes.
就是1991年苏联解体之后。
After the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991,
美苏太空竞赛到底是怎么落幕的？
How did the U.S.-Soviet space race end?
然后两个国家分别最终收获了什么结果呢?
Then what were the final results for each of the two countries?
1991年苏联解体之后。
After the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991,
这场持续了将近30年的航天竞赛。
This decades-long space race
就正式地画上了句号。
The matter is settled. Okay.
对，
然后苏联的话就是前期虽然说几乎垄断了所有的人类首次的航天突破。
Then the Soviet Union, despite its initial near monopoly on human spaceflight,
但是因为技术的断层、体制的僵化以及经济的崩溃
However, due to the technological bottleneck, the rigid system, and the economic collapse,
所以他最终登月计划失败了。
So, the final lunar landing plan failed.
整个的航天体系
The entire aerospace system
也随着国家的解体而分崩离析。
Also, it disintegrated with the dissolution of the country. Well,
而美国的话就是虽然它一开始的时候处于下风。
And as for the United States, although it was initially at a disadvantage,
但是它通过国家战略的精准转向以及科技体系的市场化运作。
However, it is through the precise redirection of national strategy and the market-oriented operation of the technological system.
还有就是全国资源的大整合。
Another is the integration of national resources.
它后来居上。
It rose to the top.
最终主导了高端航天领域的新格局。
Ultimately dominated the new landscape of high-end aerospace.
最后我们要讨论的就是美苏太空争霸的历史影响了。
Finally, we will discuss the historical impact of the US-Soviet space race.
对这场竞赛到底给人类的科技进步和国际格局带来了哪些根本性的变化呢？
What fundamental changes has this competition brought to human technology and the international landscape?
首先就是这场太空竞赛直接催生了现代航天的整体架构。
First, the space race directly led to the emergence of major aerospace organizations.
包括人造卫星。
Including satellites,
载人航天、空间站、
crewed space station,
深空探测，这些东西
deep space exploration,
全部都是因为竞赛而出现的。
All of this is due to the competition.
而这些东西又为今天的卫星导航
and these things also serve for today's satellite navigation,
太空科研、商业航天打下了一个非常坚实的基础。
Space scientific research and commercial space travel have laid a very solid foundation.
看来这场竞赛真的是让科技一下子就跳跃式的前进了。
It seems that this competition really accelerated the technological leap.
而且不仅仅是航天领域。
Not only in the field of aerospace.
就是很多航天的技术转为民用之后。
It's just about overall space technology.
也推动了新材料、自动化。
However, due to the automation of new materials,
计算机、生物医药等等这些领域的进步。
This ultimately led to advancements in fields such as medicine and pharmaceuticals.
然后也彻底地变革了我们的工业模式和生活方式。
And it also completely transformed our industrial model and lifestyle.
没错。
Right.
同时太空也成为了继陆海空之后的又一个新的主权博弈的制高点。
At the same time, space has also become a new strategic high ground for sovereign competition in addition to land, sea, and air.
就是大国的实力。
That's the power of a great nation.
现在也包括了太空霸权这一块。
Zion Zai Yi Bao Qul or Tai Kong Bar Quan Ji EQI.
那到了冷战的后期。
Then, in the late Cold War,
美苏还搞了这个阿波罗联盟对接。
The US and the Soviet Union also established the Apollo Alliance.
这又为后面的国际空间站。
This also paves the way for the future International Space Station.
这种多国合作埋下了种子。
This multinational cooperation has laid the foundation.
所以航天的主旋律也慢慢地从对抗走向了人类的共同探索。
Therefore, the main theme of space exploration has gradually shifted from confrontation to common exploration by mankind.
美苏太空争霸的本质
The essence of the American space race
我们应该怎么去理解呢
How should we understand it?
如果说要打一个比方的话就
If we were to draw an analogy
就是苏联它是一个非常厉害的短跑选手
That's right. The Soviet Union was a very powerful sprinter.
他通过他的体制优势
He leveraged his institutional advantages.
在前期的时候不断地去打破记录
In the early stages, constantly break records.
把所有的开创性的第一全部都收入囊中
Capture all the groundbreaking firsts.
Well,
而美国的话他更像是一个长跑选手
And as for the United States, it's more like a marathon runner.
它依靠的是它强大的工业基础。
It relies on its strong industrial foundation.
科技实力和经济的底蕴。
Technological strength and economic foundation.
最终在最关键的项目上面实现了后来居上。
Ultimately, it achieved a breakthrough in the most critical project.Okay.
也定义了我们现代航天能达到的极限。
It also defines the limits of modern space exploration.
好的。
Okay.
我们今天把这个美苏太空争霸的来龙去脉。
Today, we're going to delve into the history of the US-Soviet space race.
以及背后的科技、政治和经济的较量都给大家梳理了一遍。
And I've also outlined the technological and political and economic competition behind it. Well,
也看到了这场竞赛。
I also saw this competition.
如何推动了人类文明的飞跃。
How to promote the leap of human civilization.
Okay, 那这期节目咱们就到这里了。
Okay, then we'll end the show here.
感谢大家的收听。
Thank you for listening.
咱们下次再见。
See you next time.
Yeah, bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye bye.